I'm here with Judy Rebick at the People's Social Forum in Ottawa. Judy is one of the founders of Rabble.ca and also a lifelong feminist activist. Welcome to the program, Judy.
Thank you very much.
So you've been involved in different social forum processes throughout the years. You were telling me just about the People's Social Forum in Toronto that happened, the Toronto Social Forum, the success, but other, I guess, failed attempts in the past to bring together this kind of formation that we've seen at this social forum of people from English Canada, people from Quebec, and First Nations people. I guess, could you talk a little bit about how that coming together has worked at this forum, and maybe why you think it's been possible at this moment in history?
Okay. I think the divisions between Quebec, English Canada, and First Nations that have taken place historically has been a real weakness of the left in this country, because, you know, Canada's a colonial country. It's based on colonial relationships. So first, you know, both French and English Canada colonizing the indigenous people, and then the English colonizing the French, right? In a sense, colonizing the French. So we sort of have a neo-colonial relationship there, but a colonial relationship still with indigenous people. So, and not coming to grips with this on the left, except in the most general way, has been a serious problem. So, like, I was involved in an effort in 2003, I think it was, to have a forum like this, and we just couldn't do it. The tensions were just too great, particularly between Quebec and Indigenous people in English Canada over the OCA, disputes over OCA. So, and the labor movement wasn't ready at that point to support it as they are here. So I think what's made this possible is that the two most powerful and successful social movements we've seen in the last 20 years is the Quebec student movement, which is the only social movement in my lifetime that's actually brought down a government, however briefly, but still they brought down a government, which I think the significance of that isn't understood enough, right? The power of that, a social movement bringing down a government, we've never seen it before in North America even, right? Maybe in the Vietnam War, you could say that a social movement brought down a government, right? And then Idle No More, which was really a transformative uprising of indigenous people, and which had a very different approach to non-indigenous people. That is, that they non-indigenous people were very included in that struggle. And so, so the combination, the fact that the two, you know, if you want, colonialized people, the dominant nation has not been able to have a successful social movement in this historic period against Harper, however we want to frame it. In the last 20 years, we haven't had a successful social movement, but Quebec has, and Indigenous. So now we see the leadership from Quebec and from First Nations at this social forum, and that makes all the difference. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, it makes all the difference. And we also see a situation in English Canada where the kind of, I guess the other barrier has been that the English Canadian labor movement has been very focused on supporting the NDP as the political solution to everything. And just on their issues, they've been willing to mobilize, you know, on particular economic issues. But now the relationship between the labor movement and the NDP is changing, certainly at the provincial level. And, you know, in the last Ontario election, half the labor movement ran a very different campaign than the NDP was running. They ran a Stop Hudak campaign, which was a conservative. And it was a victorious campaign, but it wound up with a Liberal majority government, not an NDP government. And the NDP is furious about that. So there was a split between a significant part of the labor movement and the NDP. And so the labor movement saw that in order to protect the interests of its members, it had to have an autonomy from the NDP, right? Mm. And I think that's another factor. And the final factor is a change in leadership at the CLC. Mm. So now we had a leader of the CLC who was really opposed to alliances with social movements that...
And the CLC being the Canadian Labor Congress.
Sorry. Yeah. So Ken Giorgetti, who'd been a leader, you know, president of the NDP forever, of the CLC, forever, it seems to me, you know, for a long time, at least 20 years, He didn't want any real alliance with the social movements. He wanted control over everything. And so it was impossible when he was, and he was the leader when we tried to have the last social forum. It was impossible when he was leader of the CLC to have a coalition like that. Whereas Hassan Youssef is open to this and supportive of it. So it's big shifts that's happened on the labor movement side in English Canada. So I'd say all of those things are factors. And then, of course, the most important factor is that everybody is seeing in all of the movements the need for convergence, the need for supporting each other's issues, that every issue is fighting against neoliberalism, right? And it's in all of our interest to support each other's struggles. And that was, you know, that was true in the 60s and 70s, but in the 80s, but we tended to have more issues. You know, we had a women's movement, we had an environmental movement, and they were quite distinct and didn't really mobilize for each other. Whereas now, I think we're seeing a different approach, where people realize that, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all, which is the labor, you know, the labor slogan, that solidarity slogan, mm-hmm. but which we have to make real now. Mm-hmm. If anybody's going to succeed, we all have to support each other.
Mm-hmm. So, the renowned writer activist Naomi Klein was speaking on Parliament Hill at the rally on Thursday, and one thing she said that stood out to me was a lot of people in social movements in Canada are kind of, you know, disenchanted with the political parties. We've seen that especially in the last few weeks with Thomas Mulcair and the NDP's kind of lack of a position around the Israeli attacks on Gaza, a lot of people, you know, occupying NDP offices, tearing up their membership cards in protest. And you gave a presentation here about the relationship between social movements and political parties. So I'm wondering maybe to just get your thoughts on that, whether specifically on the NDP or on other political party formations in this country.
Well, you know, this debate has been a long-term debate in the NDP. I've been involved in it since the Waffle, which was, you know, in the late 60s, there was a group called the Waffle, which was a reflection of the youth movement inside the NDP. And from that point, the NDP has been debating what is its relationship to social movements, because it's had a clear relationship to the trade union movement, but not to other social movements. And the left, if you want, of the party has always pushed for a closer relationship with social movements. Social movements would be autonomous, but the NDP would bring the demands of the social movement into the parliamentary arena. That was our idea, right? And we would then, you know, be more supportive of the NDP, excuse me. Well, over the years, that has changed. Now, you know, when Jack Layton took over as leader of the party, he did two things. One is he did have a good appreciation of the need for the NDP to support social movements and vice versa, but he also professionalized, quote unquote, professionalized the party, which meant that it moved to the right, right? So it's sort of an interesting, so when he died and Mulcair took over, he had no notion of that, none whatsoever. And if anything, I think he's a bit hostile to that idea. And in Ontario, we saw during the Ontario election that a group of social movement activists and leaders wrote a letter to the party about how right-wing their campaign is. And they just savaged us. It was incredible. Like, it was like they had no care in the world if they were alienating every social movement in the province. Like, they just didn't care. So we're seeing a hostility from the party, the NDP, to social movements that we haven't seen before. And you point out the Gaza. I mean, I think that's a little different. That's a, you know, we have Mulcair, who happens to personally have a very pro-Israeli politic, and Stephen Duer, who's the critic, who also is quite pro-Israeli. So it's a big fight inside the party. I don't think it's that one is so much the social movements in the party as it is inside the party. And inside the party, people fought long and hard for at least a balanced position. I mean, Alexa McDonough was actually very good on the Middle East. But a balanced position, at least a pro-Palestinian rights position, even if you still support, you know, this notion of Israel's quote-unquote right to exist, which I think is a, you know, a propaganda point. It's not Israel's right to exist. It's threatened. The Palestinian right to exist, it's threatened. But anyway. And so it's party members who are occupying the offices. It's not like movement people. I mean, they're movement people too, but right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little different. But the good thing there is that he moved a little bit on that, because I think what's happened is the people who are occupying the offices are giving fuel to the members of the caucus, like Libby Davis and people like that, who are very strong supporters of Palestinian rights, for Mulcair and to move a little bit and at least criticize Israel's massacres. So I think the NDP is going through a real transformation, crisis, you could call it, where its relationship with labor is in doubt, and more and more social movement activists are not seeing any point in supporting it anymore, right? So I think that's a big change in English Canada that's happening. I mean, it's hard to know where it's going to go. Like, maybe there's people inside the NDP will fight to change it. I don't think so, because I think it's something that's happening globally, that social democratic parties are moving to embrace neoliberalism. Mm. And so what happens is the social movements become, in a sense, the extra parliamentary opposition to neoliberalism. Because the problem when that happens is that there's nobody presenting any kind of alternative to neoliberalism. And what we saw in the Ontario, became very clear in the Ontario election, is that what neoliberalism does to people's consciousness is it convinces people there's no collective solutions to problems, there's only individual solutions. So, you know, I need a tax break so I can get $500 more in my pocket, rather than we need to, let's say, a good example of this is Hydro, which has been partially privatized in Ontario. So the NDP in the past would have said, well, we have to renationalize Hydro, because that's why your hydro bills are going up, is because they have to make a profit now. But instead, the NDP says, well, cut your taxes on hydro, which is a right-wing position, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not willing to challenge this consciousness, so we have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And or in Quebec Solidaire is a party that you have in Quebec that's a real left-wing party, mm-hmm. and that does value its relationship with social movements and understands its role. So it's kind of, so there's a big transition going on. Some of it's positive, like the social forum is, like, you know, I've been feeling kind of down about things, but this has made me, and I think lots of people, when you walk around here, everybody's really cheerful. I've seen people smiling, you know, and I think people are cheerful. Part of it is just being in a place where there's so many people who are progressive and think, you know, not alike exactly, but think, you know, our comrades sort of thing in similar ways. But the other part of it is there's something really important happening here. And I felt it in my workshop. Mm. Whereas at first, you know, the majority of my workshop yesterday was Quebecois, and I was the only one from, no, there were some, a few people from English Canada. And at first they were just talking about Quebec, and then Manon, everybody was asking Manon and Jean the questions. And then Manon turned a question over to me. And so she was leading to say, no, this isn't only about Quebec. We're talking about building a pan-Canadian alliance, and we need to talk about how does this affect English Canada, and how does what's happened in English Canada, what can we learn from that, right? And it shifted. Everybody shifted. You could just feel it in the room. Oh, yeah, okay, maybe we can work together. See? Mm-hmm. And that's a shift, and it's very significant.
Mm-hmm. It's a good lead into my last question. What are some of your hopes of what could come out of the People's Social Forum here?
Well, I'm hoping that, and this is something that I've felt is necessary for like at least 2 years, and there's been several attempts that failed, because it was a top-down, totally top-down, is that we build a real network, or they're calling it a convergence now, a real network or coalition or convergence, pan-Canadian, or Quebec, First Nations, Canada, first to oppose Harper. That's the first. And then in solidarity, so that the labor movement, for example, mobilizes to support when First Nations are under attack. The First Nations are there when the labor movement's under attack. We're all there when Quebec's under attack, you know, in English Canada, right? And that started to happen around the Maple Spring. It started to happen around the Quebec student movement. The first time I've ever seen solidarity actions in English Canada vis-a-vis Quebec. The first time ever in my life. I'm 69, okay? Mm. So that's pretty significant, right? And we've seen, also around Idle No More, we haven't seen enough mobilization from unions, but we've seen a lot of support from unions, right, for Idle No More. And so it's already starting to happen. And I'd like to see it formalized. And that's what's going to be discussed tomorrow, as well as in the movement things today, If that can happen, as well as people on issues working together, that has always happened. People, you know, environmentalists work together, or the women's movement, or whatever. But a broad coalition or network where we're going to support each other and mobilize on a pan-Canadian basis, that would be a dream, to me, a dream come true, and the basis to really start to shift the balance of forces in the whole country, right across the country.
Again, we've been speaking with Judy Rebick, who's one of the founders of Rabble.ca and a lifelong feminist activist, getting her reflections on the People's Social Forum here in Ottawa. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Judy.
My pleasure.